Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. My name is Mike and I'm the college pastor at Symphony Church. And today we'll be continuing on in the book of Judges. Our chapter today is Judges chapter 14. And we're going to continue to dive into the narrative of one of the judges named Samson. So let's take a look at Judges chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah, he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives, or among all our people, that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes." His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him, roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. After some days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on, eating as he went, and he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, "Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." And they said to him, "Put your riddle, that we may hear it." And he said to them, "Out of the eaters came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. And in 3 days they could not solve the riddle. On the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us?" And Samson's wife wept over him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and you have not told me what it is." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told my father nor my mother, and shall I tell you?" She wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted, and on the seventh day he told her, because she pressed him hard. Then she told the riddle to her people, and the men of the city said to him, on the seventh day, before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle." And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. Amen. This story continues on, obviously, in Judges chapter 15 and 16. We're going to continue to learn more about what happens in the life of Samson. But today, we're going to take a look specifically at Judges chapter 14. And I first want to kind of bring to our attention this popular saying, "It's not about the destination, it's about the journey." You may have heard this saying before, "It's not about the destination, it's about the journey." And this is so true. Isn't it so easy for us to focus on the destination over the journey? The end results over the process. And as we look at the story of Samson, Samson's mind was set on the destination, but not so much on the journey. God's purpose for Samson was to deliver his people out of the hand of the Philistines. And we see in today's chapter, Judges 14, that Samson did have that in mind. He had set his mind to bring down the Philistines and rescuing Israel. But the process of getting there was filled with a lot of sinful and unholy actions. We first see this in Samson's pursuit of marrying a Philistine woman. And throughout the story of Samson, we're going to see that he has this constant struggle with his own lust towards unholy women, specifically Philistine women. We're going to see that this is not actually Samson's only wife. And but anyways, you know, in this specific chapter alone, we first see Samson's sinful and unholy actions in his pursuit of marrying a Philistine woman. He saw this Philistine woman in a town called Timnah, and he was attracted to her. And he tells his parents, "She is right in my eyes. I want her as my wife. She is beautiful to me." What Samson really cared about was how things looked to himself, not how they looked to the Lord. He had no regard for what was pleasing and right in the Lord's eyes. And so Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well. She is right in my own eyes." He demands a Philistine wife. And in doing so, he showed a sinful disregard for his parents, but also for God's will. Not only was his pursuit of marriage sinful, but even the process towards marriage led him to defiling himself from the Nazarite vow. You might be wondering, what is the Nazarite vow? Well, that's a good question. Earlier on, if you look back at Judges chapter 13, verses 3 to 5, we see an angel of the Lord appearing to Samson's mother before Samson was even born. And the angel of the Lord tells his mother, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Now, this is interesting. Samson was bound as a Nazarite. This is something that's typically voluntary for one to commit to the Nazarite vow, and it's usually for a specific period of time in one's life. But this was Samson's lot from the time that he was in his mother's womb until his death. And there are three components to the Nazarite vow. One is no contact with the dead. Second is abstinence from wine or strong drink. And third is no cutting of the hair. And in our chapter today, we see that he breaks the first two aspects of the Nazarite vow. In verses 8 to 9, Samson broke his vow to be ceremonially clean by coming into contact with the dead lion that he had killed on his journey to Timnah. He saw the carcass of the lion, he saw honey inside it, and he scraped it out into his hands, eating from the honey out of the dead lion. And not only did he break that Nazarite vow, but he also caused his parents, in verse 9, to break the vow. He gave them the honey to eat without telling them that it came out of the carcass of a dead lion. Then in verse 10, Samson threw a feast together, which most likely involved some kind of alcohol, some kind of strong drink or wine, which was another violation of his Nazarite vow. And the third vow, no cutting of the hair, that's broken later in chapter 16, which we'll get to later this week. Despite Samson's sinful and unholy actions, what we see is that God's will and purposes are not thwarted. Even though he broke these vows, even though he had defiled himself by coming in contact with a dead lion and eating out of it and throwing a feast together with alcohol and pursuing a Canaanite Philistine woman, God's will and purposes cannot be thwarted. Verse 4 tells us that this was from the Lord. Now, one thing I want to make clear here is that it's not saying that the Lord approves of Samson's lifestyle and his decisions, but it's that even through his unholy and sinful actions, the Lord is at work. You see, his father and mother did not know that this was from the Lord. As the rest of the chapter shows, some good ultimately comes out of this ungodly marriage. Many Philistines were killed, and they were kept off balance in their attempts to dominate the Israelites, but none of that justified Samson's actions. Even though God can make even the evil of man to serve his purposes, it never justifies the evil that man does. And this is only proof, once again, that the people of God need a true and righteous king to reign. As we consider our own lives before the Lord, it's easy for us to be more focused on what pleases our eyes rather than what's pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. It's easy for us to focus on the destination rather than the journey. And today, I want to invite us to consider the ways that we can live our lives in a manner that is honoring and pleasing to the Lord. It may be a reorientation of our heart's desires. It may be even the seemingly smallest actions and decisions in our lives. It may be starting the process of forgiving someone by bringing it to the Lord, rather than letting bitterness and hate fester in our hearts. We're in this lifelong process of being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And so let's not try to bypass the journey, and let's live daily to honor and please the Lord. The Lord will continue to unfold his plans and his purposes regardless of our faithfulness or our unfaithfulness, but the Lord desires that we live in such a way that is honoring and pleasing to him. And so let's do that today. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that even through Samson's life and some of his unholy and sinful actions, God, we come to see, Lord, that you are at work. But God, we don't want to take your grace for granted. We don't want to assume, Lord, that just because you are at work, we don't need to live a life that is holy and pleasing to you. God, forgive us for the ways that we have made decisions and have committed to things, Lord, that are not pleasing in your eyes. Help us, Lord, to be more concerned and to regard, Lord, the things that are pleasing in your eyes, not just in our eyes. God, will we live for you? Will we live to Christ? And God, we pray that our lives would be holy and pleasing in your eyes, Lord. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. And thanks everyone for joining us in our devotional. I hope you'll continue on and following along with us in the book of Judges. Have a great day.